Hello, friends. This is Bob Elson aboard the 20th Century Limited, one of the world's great trains, where we have a host of travelers today and some very interesting people. We have a very well-known author as our guest on the Century today, Mr. Merrill Miller, who has one of the country's bestsellers called That Winter. He's had a very interesting background. He was editor of Yank during the war and is now on the editorial staff of Harper's Magazine. Mr. Miller, what about this book? Is it your first writing venture?
Well, it's the first that wasn't published in obscurity. The other two, my mother bought copies of them.
What were they, do you recall?
Yes, one was called We Dropped the A-Bomb, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The other was a war novel called Island 49, which practically nobody read. This, luckily, some people are buying and reading.
Well, that's fine. How long did you work on it?
Oh, about a year, year and a half.
About a year, year and a half. And what is the idea behind it? What is the story about?
Well, the novel is about the winter of 45-46, particularly about three veterans who happened to be living in New York during that time, and their period of readjustment, trying to find out what it's like to be a civilian again. I called it that winter because it seems to me that particular time was the toughest time since any of us had been out of uniform. So, that's
well, how does
about.
It feel to have a bestseller?
Well, the only problem is the income tax, and that doesn't worry me a bit. It's a pleasant-type problem.
You're glad to pay it, huh?
Oh, it's a fine idea.
Mr. Miller, with your background as editor of Yank Magazine, I know that you're concerned with the lot of the veterans today. What about it? How are things for the veterans, the majority of them?
Well, I think the main problem has already been solved. Most of them, luckily, have jobs. The business now is whether or not they can keep them. The second, it seems to me, is whether or not we have another war. That's a problem that concerns almost every veteran. And a lot of them are speaking up very strongly and saying we must not have another war, that civilization just can't take it. This, I might add, is my own point of view.
Well, that certainly is mine. It certainly must be everybody's with any sense.
Yes, except a lot of people who I think must be out of their minds are talking at the moment about, dropping atomic bombs here and there. What they don't realize, it seems to me, is that if we drop atomic bombs on somebody else, all kinds of bacteriological weapons are likely to be used on us. And the most important fact, I think, is that civilization just can't take another war and survive. Not with the kind of weapons we have today.
Well, that is certainly true. Mr. Miller, where did you spend your war years? Where were you editor of Yank?
Well, practically everywhere. I was 18 months in the Pacific. I was a year and a half in Europe. I was about 6 months in England, and then came back to New York and on VJ Day was in New York, working on Yank there.
Well, now that your book is sailing along, are you working on something else?
Yes. This ought to be of a special interest in the Middle West. I'm from Iowa, and the next book is to be about Iowa.
You writers, when you get one, you just step right into another one, huh?
Oh, well, sure. You're always working on the next book and spending the proceeds of the book that as yet isn't written. That's what writers do.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Miller, for being our guest. And try a shave with our product. It's Crank Shave Cream with Dioxin, the blue package for the lather and the green for the brushless. And thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
And that was Mr. Merrill Miller, the author of one of the current bestsellers, That Winter. Also, the former editor of Yank Magazine. We have a gentleman as a guest today who is very prominent in the clothing field, Mr. C.E. Gelb, who is president of Society Brand Clothes. Mr. Gelb, of course, all we hear today when it comes to clothes are the new look and the new trend in women's clothes. But what about men?
Well, there's a new look in menswear, too. You'd be surprised. While they may not be the same in length, the fullness of the clothing is something comparable to the women's wear. And the vision for next fall, I think you'll see a little more of that in the men's styles.
Yeah. Mr. Gubb, why is it that we can't, for instance, duplicate the English tweeds?
Well, first of all, there's something about the water, at least that's what they claim, that does something for the tweeds in the foreign type, or the English or Scottish type, and which we don't get the same effects in this country. And furthermore, we've never been predominantly... wool type of fabrics, because tweeds are wool, and we're more conscious of the worsted type of fabrics.
Are we getting any of that real camel's hair from China now?
Well, we're getting some, oh yes. Of course, it's coming in rather coarse, but it's rather scarce.
Mr. Gelb, what about a few figures or statistics on styles? How many men, for instance, wear single-breasted or double-breasted, and what about colors?
Well, I would say that the single-breasted against the double-breasted, I would say that it's about equal, 50-50. And that's the way at least the sales indicate for this past spring. And it's been running close to that. The single-breasted about 50 or 55%, and then about 45% for double-breasted.
Yes. Now, what about the colors?
Well, colors for spring blues have been in great demand, and of course the usual tan and browns in spring of the year. And of course in fall of the year, why, you you go more for the darker browns and the dark blues. I would say that there's some tendency for slight gray green casting, but it's all still in the blue and brown field, the varying in various shades.
You know, Mr. Gelb, we had a very interesting chat with a large radio manufacturer the other day, and he said their aim is to put a radio in every room of every home in America. What about your aim? How many suits does the average man have?
Well, statistically, I don't know whether I'm correct or not, but if I remember correctly, before the war, I think it averaged about less than one suit. And, of course, our aim is for every man to have at least three suits. And if that could be done, well, of course, the clothing business wouldn't have to be concerned about the future.
No, well, Mr. Galvis, it's been awfully nice having this chat with you, and I hope you'll try a shave with our product.
Right.
It's Crank Shave Cream with Diaxin, the blue package for the lather and the green for the brushless. And thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
And that was a very prominent man in the clothing field, Mr. C. E. Gelb, the president of Society Brand Clothes. Men, unless you hurry, you may miss out on Crank's sensational bargain offer, which is nearing a close. So listen carefully. The makers of Crank Shave Cream are offering, for limited time only, the nationally famous Style King men's belt with a beautiful, genuine, dirty old, non-tarnishable buckle that gleams like gold. It's a real beauty. It has a patented giant grip. It comes in sizes from 22 to 62 inches, with any initial you desire handsomely raised on the buckle. You'd expect to pay at least $3 for a belt like this and consider it a wonderful buy. But if you act now and mail in a Crank Shave Cream box top and only 50 cents to Crank's, Box 831, Chicago, your belt will be sent to you right away and postpaid. Remember, whether you prefer a brushless shave or a rich brush and lather shave, you can now enjoy the benefits of whisker-wilting Diaxin in Crank Shave Cream. Within seconds, Diaxin absorbs the water-resisting film on your whiskers, lets the water soak right into the hairs for quick, easy, and comfortable shaving. Your face feels as smooth as silk, marvelously sleek and refreshed. So buy a jar or tube of either Crank's Brushless Shave Cream in the green package or Crank's new Rich Lather Brush Shave Cream in the blue package. Be sure to tell us the initial and belt size you want. But hurry, because this offer positively must be withdrawn soon and will not be repeated. So hurry. Send in a Crank's box top and 50 cents for each belt you order and mail to Crank's, that's K-R-A-N-K-S, Box 831, Chicago, Illinois. There's an old friend of mine on the Century Today who I knew was a popular radio actor and writer in Chicago and who suddenly received national prominence some time ago when he became the head man of the radio show Dr. IQ, and that's Stanley Vainrib. Stan, I can remember about a year ago when you were busy acting and writing and all of a sudden I find you were Dr. IQ. What happened?
Well, Bob, it happened very suddenly, so fast that I really didn't know myself. I was I left Chicago, and I was working on a small station down in Dallas, Texas, owned and operated by a chap by the name of Lee Siegel, who originated Dr. IQ. He created the show originally, and I was working there about 2 days. Just went to work there 2 days,
uh-huh.
And all of a sudden he rushes into the studio one night and he says, "Have you ever heard Dr. IQ?" And I said, "Well, yes, I've heard the show a couple times." So he says, "Well, here," and he hands me a script and he says, "Make like Dr. IQ, real quick." So I did, and he says, "Well, do it again." I did it again, and he said, "Well, do it again." I did it again, and the next thing you know, I knew. He said, "Oh, just hold everything. Wait a minute," and he makes a long distance phone call to Chicago. And in a few hours, I'm on an airplane on my way to Chicago to audition for the show. It happened just like that. And the next thing I knew, I was
in
the
doctor,
role.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear that particular voice now. Let's assume, like I'd say, well, here I am on the first balcony, and I have a lady doctor.
Well, let me introduce the show. Maybe that would...
That's
would
fine.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Anthony, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My assistants are stationed throughout, and so forth and so on. Yeah.
Stan, what about the oddities that must crop up on a show like this?
Well, there are quite a few of them, Bob. Very odd things happen. Some I know that I can't mention on the air here. One interesting thing I think that I can mention is the fact that when the famous quotation gets up to a pretty high jackpot, why, all kinds of people begin calling me up, making deals with me that if I get them on that particular question that they'll split the take and that sort of thing.
I heard you with a lady a short time ago, I believe 2 or 3 weeks ago. It seems that she was a mother and a family, and you had her on the famous identify a person.
That was the biographical sketch.
Mm-hmm. And she didn't. She had an awful time. I gathered she was a little bit nervous.
Well, it wasn't that. I don't know. She just wasn't accustomed to the thing, and I think she didn't expect to be called upon, and it worked out very nicely. She had a family, I believe, of 10 children, and she had 7 of them there with her, and she asked me if I mind if she called upon one of her children to answer the question, and it was a very unusual situation. Nothing like that had happened since I had assumed the role of Dr. IQ, and I didn't know what to do, but I said, in a case like that, go ahead and do it. And she called upon her son to answer the question for her, but he couldn't answer it either, and he gave it right back to his mother. So finally, you know, there's a lot of prompting on the show. You can't help it. Uh-huh. And finally, we got down to about the next to the last clue, and she finally got it.
I remember she did. Don't you find, Stan, though, in your experience, and I notice it myself, that a lot of people who participate in those type of shows, when they're called on, they immediately black out. I mean, they know the answer.
That's very true. In fact, I think some sort of a survey was made recently, and they found that the average person could answer just about two-thirds of a question on any quiz show sitting at home in his own living room, but when once they get in the theater, on the spot, they black out, as you say.
Well, that's certainly true. Well, Stan, I wish you lots and lots of luck.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. Thank you very much.
Try a shave with our product. Here's a green package of Crank's Brushless Shave Cream containing the amazing Discovery Dioxin. And once you use it, I'm sure you'll never want to shave with anything else.
Oh, I use it all the time, as a matter of fact,
Bob. Oh, that's
swell,
Stan. Thanks very, very much. And that was Mr. Stanley Vainrib, who was head man on the show Dr. IQ. Friends, before it's too late, be sure to send for several of these handsome belts we're offering. And remember, the buckle is genuine, non-tarnishable Dariole with any initial you want. This offer must be withdrawn soon and may never be made again, so hurry. Just get a jar or tube of either Crank's new Rich Lather Shave Cream or Crank's Brushless Shave Cream, both containing whisker-wilting Dioxin. Mail the box top with your name and address, belt size and initial, with only 50 cents to Crank's, that's K-R-A-N-K-S, Box 831, Chicago, Illinois, and your belt will be mailed post-paid. You'll say thanks to Crank's for a perfect shave. And now the century's all set. Pull out for New York, and this is Bob Elson saying goodbye for today from the world-famous Dreamliner, the 20th Century Limited.